show you how basing your life on the message about Jesus in the Bible is not a delusion. This is a legitimate document of history that tells us the truth. And today I want to show you why you should therefore spend your time on university also getting to know Jesus better, uncovering Christ during your time at university. Now, this is meant to be a kind of a public forum on the message of the Bible, so we want to be able to ask each other things afterwards. We want to be friendly and a good place to get to know each other. So please keep up all those conversations, and also if you could grab out a pen and make sure you fill this in, that would be really, really helpful for us as we try and coordinate ourselves as a student society. Okay, so here's a big question for you. First slide. What is uni good for? What's uni good for? Lots of ways to answer this question, of course. We could ask, what's it good for in society? And maybe you have many answers yourself. Why have you come to university? Perhaps you've been sent here by your family to come to university. Maybe you're looking for good qualifications for a job. Maybe you see coming to university in Australia as a good pathway towards maybe becoming a permanent resident of Australia or even a citizen. There are lots of things that university is good for, but I'm going to add another suggestion for you, which I hope you might think about. I think university is good for becoming a person of direction, about shaping your identity based on something firm and hopeful, which you can strive for in life. By hope, I don't mean, you know, just a vague wish or a desire. I mean something that you can really direct your life around and live for. Is this surprising that I want you to do this at uni, to become this kind of people, that you have a certain identity? Well, I don't think you should be too surprised because of two things. One is the phenomenon that we know that there's a difference between being a child and being an adult, don't we? We feel sorry for children who have to become adults too young. Maybe because their parents are sick, or maybe because they live in a war zone. They can't just play and have fun as children should. We feel sorry for them. Likewise, we feel sorry for 35-year-old adults who just muck around and have fun all the time. Okay, we recognize that there's a transition between childhood and adult, and it happens around this time. So I want you to use your time at university to really work out what sort of person you are, what you base your life on, what you're living for. Next slide. Happy moments are a time when you can work out what you're basing your life on, what your big hope for in life is, what your direction is. You know why, don't you? Because when you start achieving your hopes, of course you celebrate. Even just the anticipation of them getting closer gives you excitement. So notice what you get happy about in life. Okay, and that will start to give you a clue about what you're basing your life on, what you're living for. And Agnes read a passage to us about a very happy moment in a man called Zechariah's life. Actually, a man and a woman, husband and wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had the very fortunate occasion of having a firstborn son. Now, I know in many cultures, having a firstborn son is quite prestigious, isn't it? It's great to have any children. But in some cultures especially, having a firstborn son is really significant. And in the time that Jesus was born and amongst the people when he was born, having a firstborn son was like that. It was fantastic. I mean, having any children is good, but having a firstborn son is like excellent. But this is even more happy occasion. Because I don't know if you remember from last week or even you picked up in this passage that Agnes read. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. They hadn't been able to have children. They weren't able to conceive. And in the passage that we looked at last week, an angel came and said, "Your prayer has been heard.
You see, this is where a couple who had been hoping for having children for a long, long time. They were really desperate to have children. And finally, God gave them a child. So this is a happy, happy occasion. So happy, in fact, that Zechariah has a poem or a song. In the uncover version of the Luke's Gospel that I have, it actually has Zechariah's song. And that was the quite long section where Zechariah praises God. You'd expect it to be very, very happy, wouldn't you? After A, getting a firstborn son, and B, after such a long time waiting for having any children. Let me suggest that a song is really good to celebrate a birth with, because songs can capture emotions and memories. Okay, remember, they didn't have photos back then. They couldn't post the celebratory moment on Facebook. There wasn't those other ways. So he came up with a song. It didn't matter that he couldn't take a photo because he could sing. This is going to be very over-the-top, crazy, happy song, isn't it? But, next slide, it's actually a very awkward memento. You know the word memento? It's like a photo album of the birth, remembering the occasion. And this is actually a very awkward photo album. I'll tell you why. There's something very surprising about the song, which I'm saying is like a photo album. The song is not really about John, the baby. It's not really about his son. Isn't that surprising? Isn't that even awkward? Only about 20% of the song is about John. I'll show you the one section which is about John. It's verse 77, 76 and 77, where the song turns to, "And you, my child," see, Zechariah is talking now about the baby called John, "you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation." That's it for the song about the baby. Isn't that crazy? There's something even bigger hope that Zechariah is singing about, and that's Jesus. See, the one that John is to go before is the Lord Jesus. Jesus is actually the real big hope for Zechariah, not his own son. Does that strike you as a bit strange that another baby should be even more important for this man who's just had a child? It seems a bit strange to me. Why is Jesus even a bigger hope for Zechariah than his own son? What's so special about Jesus? Well, if we look at the photo album of the birth, the song, you can see some other pictures which explain why Jesus is so important. And I've called them the three hopes of Jesus, the next little heading for this presentation. Zechariah, in singing this song, when the birth of his baby came along, painted also three pictures, or took three photographs of Jesus, and displayed why he was an even bigger hope than his own baby. The first one is this. The first hope of Jesus is this. Jesus provides a hope to live by for Zechariah and for us, because Jesus, this other baby that's going to be born, shows us that God is faithful. God keeps his word. You can live by God's word. You can always trust it. You can always rely on it. Let's see some of the profiles in the lyrics of the song that show that God keeps his word. Verse 70, can you find verse 70? Zechariah says, this is all about as God has said through his holy prophets of long ago. Verse 72, find that. This is so that God is remembering his holy covenant. and verse 73, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. See, Jesus being born is a result of God keeping his word. God had made some promises beforehand through his prophets to David, to Abraham, that he would bring someone special. So he's promised to Israel that he would bring them back spiritually to himself from exile. He's promised to David, a king in the Old Testament, that David would have a descendant who would be an eternal king. And he promised to Abraham, who lived about 1800 BC, that one of his descendants would bring blessing to the entire world. Now, do you know anyone who likes to sprout out things, but they're just words? They never follow through. We have a saying in Australia: it's a bunch of hot air. Nothing. It means nothing. Oh, I'm going to climb Mount Kosciuszko someday. I'm going to climb even Mount Everest one day. But they never do it. That's not God. God is faithful. God is reliable. God is trustworthy. What he says he do, he will do. And Jesus being born shows that God keeps his word. Now, why is that something that can give us something to live for? What's so hopeful about that? Well, if God can be faithful even to very rebellious and wayward Israel, they constantly rejected God. They constantly threw mud on his name. If God is faithful to them in really costly things, then he's going to be faithful to little old me and you in the small things. And that's something that I want you to learn at university, how God can be faithful to you. The second photo in the album, in this song that Zechariah sings, that shows us about Jesus, is this. It shows us that Jesus provides hope because in Jesus, God of the universe has come right next to his people, right up close. So look at verse 68, very first one there. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed them. Look at verse 78, because of the tender mercy of God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Now, as you know, if you think about language, when you say, oh, I'll come through for you, it doesn't necessarily always mean I'm going, if you're speaking to a friend on the phone, say, don't worry, I'll come through. I'll come for you. I'll be there for you. Doesn't necessarily always mean physically. It might mean that you'll send through the documents that you promised, or that you'll send the money that you promised, or some other way of coming through for them. And God is like that as well. He comes all the time. He answers our prayers. He strengthens us. He blesses us with his spirit. He comes to us all the time. But what Luke is saying here, and Zechariah through this song, is actually something even more profound than that. He's saying that God is coming amongst us as a person. He is personally coming to earth. He's come to his people. And that is a huge thing, isn't it? If the God of all the universe should come amongst us as a person, so tangibly but modestly present as to be nursed by his mother. So tangibly but modestly present as to be eating and laughing with his disciples. So tangibly but modestly present as to be whipped and nailed to a cross. What this shows us is that God is not just looking on, seeing what's happening as a kind observer. He is that, but he's also an active participant with us, patiently bearing what we have to bear in life, going through all of the difficulties that we have to go through in life, experiencing the same sort of problems that we experience. He knows us not just as an onlooker, but actually as a participant with us. He's come right alongside and has experienced what we've experienced. And if he's prepared to do that big journey, that's a big journey, isn't it? From eternal glory to living a life on earth. If he's prepared to go that far, then it gives us hope in life that he will go all the way he needs to show us that he's always with us and always present to us and will always hear our prayers. There's a third picture that Zechariah paints of Jesus. And that one shows that Jesus provides hope for us by demonstrating that God will save us from all our enemies. That's an amazing picture. Jesus coming to earth as God in the flesh shows us that God will save us from all our enemies. Look at verse 71. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. So, let's think. What are all the enemies of humans? There's so many, isn't there? There's natural disasters. There's diseases. There's political oppression. There's economic injustice. There is, well, just getting old. Getting old, yeah. Getting old. Dying. That's an enemy, isn't it? Poverty, sickness, death. Jesus came to deal with all of those. But here's the thing. Jesus will deal with all of those enemies when he comes back a second time. On his first visit, Jesus dealt with the root causes of those enemies. Okay? And there are two kind of things which energize all of those other enemies that we have. And the Bible calls them sin, human participation in sin, and the evil one. On Jesus' first visit, he dealt with the root problems by paying for human sin and conquering the evil one. On his second visit, when he comes back forever, because he's dealt with the root problem on his first visit, then he'll deal with all the rest of our enemies as well. And this is a great hope, isn't it, in life? That even though we go through terrible times sometimes, even though we might be homesick, even though we might not know whether our degree will achieve any job for us, even if we have relational breakdown, even if we are sad and depressed, even if whatever, we know that Jesus has dealt with our worst enemies and that one day he will deal with all of those things as well. So whatever we're going through, it means that we can still live with hope. This is how the life in between Jesus' first visit and second visit is described in verse 74. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us, even now, to serve God without fear. Without fear of any of those problems that can come in life. And in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. That's an amazing way to live. That's an amazing identity to have. That because you know that Jesus has dealt with your biggest problems, you can go through life serving God, the living and true God of the entire universe, without fear of any of those other problems. Yes, they will be there. He doesn't say he takes them away. But because you know that you'll have victory in Christ in the end, can still serve God in holiness and righteousness. So here are three pictures about Jesus that will give you hope for life. That God is trustworthy, he is faithful, he keeps his promises. He will be faithful to you. Secondly, that he knows exactly what you're going through in all things. He has experienced it in Jesus himself. And thirdly, that God has beaten our biggest enemies, the root cause of all the problems that we have in our world, in his first visit, and then when he comes again, the rest as well. So, last slide. This is our theme, isn't it? Uncover Christ on campus. I hope that you do really well at university this year, this semester. I hope some of your goals about coming to university got a little bit closer. Maybe it's getting a good qualification. Maybe it's about improving your possibility for staying in Australia. Maybe it's any number of things. But what I really, really hope for you, and I ask you to take on as a goal for yourself, is to become a person who has something to live by and for. Have an adult identity, you see. Not a child anymore who just lives in the moment, but through these years understands how you can actually live for Jesus your entire life. That is something that I want so much that I'm going to pray for everyone here that God will help us realize it. And someone else is going to pray as well. Who is that? Ed. Ed, do you want to just quickly tell us who you are, what you study, and...
Yeah. My name's Ed. I study business and I'm in my third year.
Okay. So I'll pray for you, us to become, during university, people who understand how to live life with Jesus because he gives so much hope. And Ed has some other things to pray for as well.
Which you can find on the Credo Hub.
Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you show that God is faithful. He keeps his word, that he will always be faithful to us because he's been faithful in big things. Thank you, Jesus, that you also show that God knows exactly all that we go through in life because he's experienced it through you, Jesus. You lived a human life like us. And thank you that we can be confident too that all the problems that we will face in life, one day you will overthrow them all and establish true justice and salvation. And we can experience facing life without fear of those things. Because you know, we know that you have dealt with our sin and you've defeated the evil one. Thank you for these things. Help us during this time at university to achieve some of the goals that we're here for. But also, to learn how to live for you for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Dear God, thank you so much for UTS, that we're able to come to uni to learn and to tell others about Jesus. Thank you for all the new connections that we've made over the past 2 weeks, and we pray that we will continue to meet new students who are keen to learn about Jesus. We pray that you may truly bring your kingdom on this campus throughout this semester and that you'll be working in all of our lives to spread your gospel. And finally, we pray for all the AFES groups around Australia, just like our own. We pray for their follow-up, that it will be effective and that they can welcome in the new people into their communities. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.
Do you reckon, Erica?
Thanks, Paul. So if you haven't filled in your feedback form, could you please do that now? So, no. And if you have any prayer points or comments, you can put them on there as well. So for dinner tonight, we're having Thai. And if you would like to come but you haven't told Steph, could you put up your hand? Okay, great. Fantastic. And that will be here. Yeah. So just remember to sign up for small groups if you haven't, and ETC. And next week, public talks will be in the same place here, continuing the Christ on Campus series with Paul speaking again. So we hope to see you next week. And just a question to think about and maybe talk to other people about over dinner is, what will you live by and for? So that's all for tonight. Thank you.